Hello, this is Hannah Hudak. The date is September 27th, 2022. The current time is 2 o'clock, 2 p.m. I'm currently located at Texas A&M Corpus Christi University in Corpus Christi, Texas. Via Zoom, I have Michael Diaz, who is currently located at the Whitehead Memorial Museum in Del Rio, Texas. Mr. Diaz, do I have your permission to record this interview?
Yes.
Okay, great. Before we start, I wanted to let you know that not only will I be asking you questions concerning the events of the flood, but I will also be asking questions about the Del Rio community, as well as questions pertaining to your life.
Okay.
Okay, anyways, let's get started. Are you originally from Del Rio?
Yes.
And growing up, who did you live with?
I live with my mother.
Could you tell me what life was like growing up?
Well, it was very carefree. We spent a lot of times outdoors. We didn't have too many electronic games like kids do now. So we spent most of the time outdoors playing. When you're a kid, everything's really carefree. So it was nothing too, it wasn't really like a bad life growing up.
Do you have any like unique experiences that you think are, unique to Del Rio?
Like celebrating, we celebrate a lot of Mexican tradition, Mexican holidays like 16 de septiembre and Cinco de Mayo here in Del Rio. So I remember as a kid going to those celebrations. So that was always fun and what I thought was unique.
How would you describe the Del Rio community? Because I know it's a small town. Do you feel like that small town love in the community?
Yeah, it's everyone kind of knows each other, even if you don't directly know someone, you know someone who knows that person. Everyone really knows like the families around Del Rio, especially in the older part in San Felipe. Everyone knew who the families were in there. It's real, it's like a relaxed setting. It's not like the larger cities where everyone's in a hurry to get everywhere or to get somewhere. Here in Del Rio, if you need to go to the store or anywhere, it's really like 5 to 10 minutes away from anywhere. So you want to go to your house to a store, from your house to the mall to get groceries. It's really just like 5, 10 minute drive. So it's a real small community.
So you are currently the director at the Whitehead Memorial Museum, correct?
Yes.
What are some things you do at the museum?
So our main mission is to preserve the history of Alvarado County and the city of Del Rio. So that's what we do. We also do a lot of community events to involve the community and get them involved in the preservation of history, also educating them on our history, educating the youth. So we do field trips, we have historical fairs, programs like that to get the community and the youth involved in learning about our history.
And could you give me a brief, like, history about the museum and why it was created?
Sure. It was in the early 1960s. Della Whitehead, from the Whitehead family, they were a notable ranching family here in Del Rio. They noticed that there was no museum or no place to house artifacts or show the history of Del Rio. So they actually purchased the old Perry store, which is now our general admission, our main entrance. They purchased the old Perry store and made that into the museum. And then they opened that up and they donated the museum in a joint trust to the city and the county. So the museum itself is owned by both the city and the county, but it is run by a nonprofit organization called the Whitehead Memorial Museum. So we do have a board of trustees. There's 12 of them. They hire the director and then I hire a staff. And right now we have a staff of four. The museum has expanded to, right now it's on 2 acres of land. It
Oh,
has over
wow.
18 buildings and more than probably about 40 exhibits.
And you mentioned that the museum has events. Could you tell me about some of these events?
Yes. So we have in the spring we have our Dino Days, which kids come, our students from the area will come and see Dinosaur George from San Antonio, and he brings all his fossils and dinosaur replicas, and we teach the kids about that kind of prehistory. We also have archaeology fair in the fall. Students again also will come to the museum, and we have different presenters such as the Bexar County Buffalo Soldiers. We have the Texas Camel Corps. Doug Baum will actually bring two camels to the museum for the kids to see. You know, a lot of kids in Del Rio will never have the chance to see a camel in real life, so this is a it's very exciting for them to come and see that. So just different presenters like that have to do with the history and archaeology will come to the museum for archaeology fair. Our community events, we have like our movie nights. So we do in the summer every last Friday for 4 months, we give out or we have a free movie for the kids and the family to come see. During spring break, we have an activity for the kids to come, usually arts and crafts, art, rock art. We show them how the indigenous used to use the rocks in different colors to paint on the walls. In July, we have our museum day. So every Saturday in July is actually free to Del Rio residents. So if they don't have a chance to come in or they see that our admission price is a little bit too high for them, they can always come in during those Saturdays and come in for free.
Growing up, did you go to the museum and its events?
You know, no, to tell you the truth, not really. When I was a kid, I think I may have come during a field trip one time, but I can't remember coming, you know, as a teenager or in high school ever coming to the museum. And that's one of the things that I want to change is to make sure that the kids aren't coming just for a field trip, maybe just once a year or once in their time in school. I want to make sure they're coming multiple times, and it's something that they come back and want to come back to the museum.
What kind of made you interested in your like career?
Well, you know, I've always had a interest in history. My mother and my uncle were very also interested in history. My uncle was a history teacher at the local high school here in Del Rio. And it's just always been a passion of mine. I actually, when I first graduated high school and I went to college at UTSA, I actually got my degree in biology.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so it's like on the other side of the spectrum of history and biology, two different sides. And yeah, so I kind of fell into this position. I came back to Del Rio and I started volunteering at the museum. And from a volunteer, I went to marketing and promotion. So I started their Facebook and their Twitter page and doing all their flyers. So I was that for a couple of years. And then the director at the time decided to retire and I put my name in the hat and I was chosen.
And what year did you start working for the museum?
At the end of 2013.
Oh, so almost 10 years.
Yes, yeah, 10 years coming up.
What made you want to come back to Del Rio and, pursue a volunteership and a career?
You know, I have my plan was always to come back to Del Rio, my hometown. I love it. I like San Antonio. It's nice, but you know, everyone is in a hurry to go everywhere. The traffic is real bad, and you know, here in Del Rio, it's not as bad as like I said before. It's very calm and not as fast paced. So that's why my plan was always to come back to Del Rio.
Okay, and so when the flood occurred in Del Rio, how old were you when it happened?
I believe I was 15. Yeah, it was. I remember I was a freshman at the time.
And you witnessed the flood like firsthand?
Yeah, so the majority of the flooding happened in South Del Rio in the San Felipe neighborhood, but we did have some flooding in the north side near where I live. So I live in the Buena Vista neighborhood, and right across from where I live, there's a dry creek bed called the Cienegas Creek, and it's for the most part, 99% of the time, it's dry. It only kind of floods when it rains. And during the flood of '98, I mean that creek bed was full. It was real full, and there was some flooding on the north side, so we did get to see that.
When the rainfall began, Did you and like your family and like I guess your friends as well, did anybody have an idea that the rainfall would be so detrimental to the city?
No, we had no idea. Even so, when we woke up the next morning, we had gone outside and we saw the dry creek bed was full of water, and it was actually flowing kind of fast. We had seen some cars stuck because the creek bed crosses a road by where I live, and there were some cars that were stuck in there. But yeah, even then we had no idea the devastation that happened in the San Felipe neighborhood. We didn't know about it. We had no idea.
Would you say that Del Rio as a city is very vulnerable to flooding?
Yes, just because we have the creek, and at that time there were a lot of houses that were built right on the creek. And then, since it's so dry here for so long, that when it does rain, that water doesn't soak into the ground as fast as it would as if it was, would rain usually. It just holds it and it floods. So yeah, there are certain parts of the town that when if there's a heavy rain, it's gonna those streets will flood.
And prior to the flood, did any like serious flooding happen before?
I don't believe so. I think the last major flood was maybe in the 30s, 35, somewhere around there. But there hadn't been a major event like the one that happened in 98.
So you mentioned that you experienced some rainfall in your area, but did you experience any damage to your property?
No, we were lucky enough that where I live, it's a little bit higher than the flood area. So the water reached up to maybe to our driveway and to our back porch. We didn't get any water inside the house.
And did you lose power? Did you lose water during the event?
Yes, so I don't think we lost power, but the flood waters did contaminate the pumping station where the city gets its water from. So they did have to shut water off to the whole city for quite a while. So the city was left without some areas were left without power, but the majority of all the city was left without any kind of drinking water.
So what did you guys do to, deal with this?
So the city actually had to bring in bottled water. And I know, I think HEB brought in tankers full of water. The National Guard came in, and they were just delivering tons and of gallons of bottled water to everybody because, I mean, you have your whole city and you can't drink any of the water. So that's what the government did to help out.
And do you know any like family or friends that probably experienced the flood so much worse? And what did they have to deal with?
I remember my uncle lived in the San Felipe neighborhood. So the San Felipe neighborhood was the one that was hit the hardest because that's where the creek runs through. And so this happened, it was overnight. So you have to think it's dark. The power went out. He remembers hearing people screaming as the water was rising.
Oh, wow.
And he said that's one thing that he never forgot was the sounds of the people screaming. So that kind of it when you think about it, that's kind of hard to hear and think about.
And what area did he live in? What part of town?
It was in San Felipe, in the which is like the east south part of town.
And, after the events of the flood, how did the community feel?
So I know that even though the community was devastated because there were people who passed away to the flood, after it, a lot of people came together to help each other out. So I remember school had just started or was about to start, and I was in the marching band, and some of our friends in the band, they had their houses flooded out. So we decided to get together and actually go over there and help a few of our friends. So when we went, we saw all the devastation, houses full of mud, full of debris. cars and vehicles turned over, cars in the creek that were pushed by the floodwaters. But the people, the neighbors, and everyone got together to help each other out. So all you saw was, people who maybe not even known those families, but they were out there helping them clean up the mess. I remember also me and my mom, we went to help at the Red Cross. So there was a vacant building where the Red Cross set up, and they were taking in clothing and food donations for those who lost, everything, because there was houses that were swept to the foundation. So yeah, the community came together to help each other out.
And you mentioned that school was kind of going on at the time. Did school get canceled and did like people have to go into work?
Yeah, I know the school did get canceled for, I'm not sure how long. Honestly, maybe a week or two. I don't know if people were going back to work. So my mom was a teacher at that time. So when school was canceled, she was off of work. I'm not sure if other jobs probably had to close down, because like I said, no power and no water for a while. So it was kind of hard to run a business at that time too.
And you said you helped out with the Red Cross. Did you do anything else to help out the community?
Yeah, that was basically it. We at the Red Cross, we did like sorting of different clothing that was coming in. So we would sort shoes, belts, pants, shirts. Again, also me and a couple of friends went to the hard hit areas, and we helped our friends, just take all everything out of their house, because when the floodwaters come in and everything gets wet and muddy, so you're taking out old couches and sofas and bed, and there's trash and limbs everywhere. So we helped our friends doing that too.
And do you think if a similar kind of rainfall happened today, do you think Del Rio would be ready or prepared for it?
I'm not sure. If it were to happen all of a sudden, like it did in '98, without any kind of warning, I'm not sure. If there was some type of preparation and we had a forecast that we know is going to flood, there's going to be heavy, heavy rainfall with potential flooding. The government, the city and the county, they have. I think they have learned from it, so they can put some, emergency plan into action.
And if this did happen, like tomorrow, let's say, do you think the community will help each other out like they did back in the day?
Oh yeah, I 100% believe that that will happen. And that, like I said, when you live in a small community and everybody kind of knows everybody, or you know somebody who knows your family, yeah, when usually when some tragedy like that happens, the community will come together.
So today, would you say that, people that experienced the event, do you think they still remember it?
Yeah, I believe so. When we had, I think the 20th anniversary of the flood happened, there was a gathering at the Brown Plaza in San Felipe, and they had people who lived through it, kind of tell their story and what they remember. So there are people, still around who remember what happened.
And you mentioned it was a like a memorial for this. Are these constant? Do these happen? Like, are there more memorials that have occurred?
I remember when the flood first happened, right after it, they had kind of a semi-permanent memorial at the mall. One section they had the pictures of the people who passed away. After a few years, that was taken down and moved. And then there nothing really happened until I know there was a larger memorial. It's a 20-year anniversary. We actually put up the museum actually put up an exhibit. When I first became director, we didn't have any kind of exhibit on the flood, so I decided to, something that we need to share with our visitors and then our youth who didn't know anything about it. So that's another way of memorializing those people who passed away and the event.
What kind of information is on this exhibit?
So we have some pictures. We have some video that was taken after the flood, so of all the aftermath. We actually have some artifacts such as the canned water and the glass bottle water that the beer companies were making. Instead of making beer, they stopped and started bottling water and canning water. We also have the actual rain gauge that was used by the National Weather Service to measure the official rain amount that fell during the flood, and also the charts that were on that rain gauge.
You said you spent some time living in San Antonio. Would you say people in San Antonio ever like heard about the flood?
Maybe some have. I know it was, I want to say, maybe a year or two after 98 that San Antonio had their own kind of a big flooding event. Yeah, but I'm not sure if it's a big of a deal in outside of Del Rio as it is inside to the people in Del Rio.
So I know Del Rio was a city that was hit, but did other like surrounding cities also face something similar?
Yes, I know across the border in Mexico, they also lost a lot of buildings and some. I'm sure some people have passed away also, but you know they also have bad flooding in Acuña across the border in Mexico. So I know that they were also heavily affected by the flood.
And you mentioned that Del Rio has a lot of like water, like rivers and the lake. Do you think not only did the lake and the water like play a part, but do you think the infrastructure of the city also played a part in the flooding?
Yeah, I mean it probably did. I know the one of the reasons why it flooded a lot in the San Felipe areas was because there was a lot of debris that was damming up the water, and that debris all of a sudden broke, so a huge wall of water just came, you know, into the streets and wherever the creek was at. On the north side, you know, there's floodplains and flood areas where the city has tried to build around, but I mean with all that water, it reached overreached the floodplain and actually hit some of the houses in the area.
So I know that Laughlin Air Force Base is outside of Del Rio. Did they face anything with the flood and the rainfall?
Yeah, so they did get some flooding over there. They've always had some kind of flooding, some sort of flooding issues, but with all the rain that poured down that night, I know their airfield and where they have the planes was flooded. There was debris on the runway, so they also got affected by this too.
Is there any information that you would, like to add about the flood that I might have missed?
Let me see. No, it's just it was this it was an event that not too many people were expecting. It kind of happened real quick, and the hard part of it was it happened at night, so a lot of people were sleeping, and you know, like I said, in the San Felipe area, they get out of bed and there's water, you know, all the way up to their bed, so they're in standing water. You know, stories of cars being pushed off the street and into the creek, people on their roofs, you know, trying to stay dry from the rising waters. You know, it affected a lot of people here in Del Rio. And there are still a lot of people who remember that there's, you know, like I said, before the 98 flood, a major flood happened in the 30s. So there's really no one now who remembers that. But there are more people now who remember the flood of 98.
So you mentioned that many people, lost their homes. What happened to them? Did they have a temporary shelter?
Yeah, so actually FEMA came in and they built some like mobile homes or some trailer homes out on some land. So they had to move those people onto those FEMA lots or the FEMA homes, because they said a lot of these homes that were washed away were right on the creek, the banks of the creek, because people had always had their homes there, and after the flood, when you have nothing but a concrete foundation and everything is gone, they had to put people somewhere because actually they lost their home. They lost everything that they had.
Do you know if these temporary homes are still around, or are they kind of not around anymore in Del Rio?
No, I believe they are. They allowed the people, FEMA allowed the people to stay there for a good amount of time. After a certain amount of years passed, they gave the option to the people to actually buy the trailer or to move out to another permanent home.
So, when the events of the flood happened and you had to go back to school, did the school, sit you guys down and mention oh, if you guys need help, we can help you. What did they do coming back?
No, I can't really remember if there was a lot of. I'm sure the counselors were there to help anyone who needed help. Because a lot of people either lost family members or items or their home. I just remember it being kind of tough going back, after not being in school for a few weeks and then noticing it, and everyone coming back and, just talking about all the devastation that happened.
Do you have any more, stories from people that you knew that had insane experiences with the events of the flood?
I just really remember my uncle's experience of, hearing the people screaming at night. I know a lot of people had a hard time. I've heard of people walking out to see what's going on, and they walk right into the flood, the flood waters, and being swept away, and like having to hold on to tree limbs and to trees because the water was actually the current was actually kind of strong.
So, kind of going back to the museum, I actually have some more questions about it. Would you say that, the Del Rio community largely, goes visits the museum and its events?
Yeah, the community events, people do come. We do get a lot of the kids from the school tours when they come to do the tours. The majority of our visiting our visitors are actually from out of town.
Oh, wow. And why do they visit the museum, just to see it, or is there something going on that they want to see specifically?
It really depends. There's a lot of people, we get a lot of retirees who are traveling. So they wherever they go, whatever city they're traveling or visiting, they like to, visit the museum at that in that location, that city. We are the only full-time museum in Del Rio, so a lot of them will come over here for that. Then you get your history buffs who love history and love history museums, and so they come to the museum to just learn about the history of Del Rio. We do get some because we actually have Judge Roy Bean and his son buried here on our ground. So there are some people who want to come and see his actual grave site, see where he's buried. So they'll actually come to the museum just to see the headstones and where he's buried at. So there's, multiple reasons why, people will come to the museum.
Do you talk to the people that come to the museum?
Yeah, whenever I get a chance, and we usually do have a chance to chat with our visitors, yes.
Do you maybe know where they're coming from? Like what places? Are they from within the state or are they from like beyond? Where are they from?
So we actually get people from everywhere, from inside of Texas, from different states in the United States, and we actually get from different countries. So we've had people, of course, from Mexico and Canada. We've had Japan, the Netherlands, Germany, France, Europe, a little bit of everywhere.
And quick question, what is your like favorite exhibit at the museum?
So my favorite exhibit is our schoolhouse. And the schoolhouse, it shows the two different school districts, independent school districts that Delaware had at one time, and the consolidation. So before I started, there was really no kind of history of the school system here in Del Rio, and it's very widely known in Del Rio about that history that had to do with segregation. So I thought it'd be a really good idea to have a permanent exhibit on a museum, not only to share that with our youth so they can know how the school system was from pre-1970, and also to our visitors who come in from around the world or around the United States can see, how Del Rio was also part of that segregated school district.
And what exhibit would you say you're probably the most proud of?
I think it would have to be the same exhibit. I put a lot of time and effort into researching that, and I've actually had some family members donate some of their memorabilia. So I have my mother's junior high diplomas in there. My uncle's Letterman jacket is in there, because the school district, when they consolidated, the San Felipe Independent School District no longer existed. So a lot of the items are from that independent school district, which is no longer here, is very cherished.
So I've been to the museum a few times myself, and I've remembered that you guys have animals at the museum. How did that come about?
So yes, at the previous director, she did have some animals. So sometimes people would want to donate. Usually there were birds to the museum, so she would take them in. I know we did at one time have also prairie dogs in the back in a small little enclosure. But they were just there so the kids could see them. Again, a lot of times kids from Del Rio may not have the chance to leave Del Rio and see certain animals or other museums. So that's why we have those items here in our museum.
So you mentioned a lot of things that you have in the museum are donations. What has been some of the most interesting donations you've gotten?
It's been there's a lot of donations that people bring in. I remember it's kind of funny because people they think just because they have something old that's museum worthy. Sometimes it's not. Like we had, so a lady came in and she brought in some rocks that looked like they were maybe skulls, or at one time had been skulls. They were just, with erosion, they were just shaped differently. So she thought those were interesting, and she brought those to us to look at.
Did you guys take those in?
Yeah, we took them in just because they were very interesting. You don't see rocks like that, so we put them in our cave exhibit, as just to show the kind of rock formations that may happen with the erosion over time. A lot of people like to drop off different kind of typewriters. We've had some clothing dropped off, like a mariachi outfit that belonged to a little boy from the 1930s.
Wow.
Just a little bit of everything. We've had one of the clinics closed down, an older clinic, and they actually had in their storeroom some old medical equipment that looked like it was from the maybe the 30s or 40s. So they donated that to us, and that was very interesting because, like I said, my background was in science, so I like seeing all that all that stuff.
Also, from what I remember going to the museum, I remember there was like an old train cart. Could you explain to me like why that was there?
Yes, so that was the caboose. It's our caboose exhibit. It's an actual caboose that they brought in to the museum. So the train, the reason they have that here is because the train and the railroad was a very big part in Del Rio's history. It's what brought people to Del Rio. Before the train came, the railroad came to Del Rio, you had maybe 200, 300 people. After the railroad came in, they built a train station. The population skyrocketed to about 2,000 people. So it's a very important part of our history. And so we show that we have the caboose that was donated to the museum, and we show it because nowadays you won't see a caboose on a train. They don't use them anymore. Before they used them, there was a reason to have the caboose, to make sure everything was okay on the back of the train. Now, if you look on the train, you'll see like a small little yellow box, which is a computer, and that basically does the same thing what a caboose would have done back in the day.
Who donated the caboose?
I'm not 100% sure. I would probably have to say it was had to have been the railroad, maybe Union Pacific.
You mentioned you have some employees at the museum. Do you know what their favorite exhibits probably are?
That's a very good question. I don't know. Yeah, we have four employees. I know. Well, our maintenance, our head of maintenance, name is Gus Rodriguez. He is very into. He was his parents or his dad was a sheep shearer contractor. So he grew up sheep shearing also, and we do have some sheep shearing exhibits and some machines. So I know he really likes that. Whenever we have visitors and they have questions about the sheep shearing industry or the sheep shearing equipment, he's out there talking to him about that, so he knows a lot about that. Our front desk associate, Kelly, she's an artist, so I know she does like art. We have an art corner that has a little bit of different art that was donated to the museum. So yeah, I know she likes those kind of exhibits that come in.
So, before you worked at the museum, you did events really occur that often than they do now?
Not, the kind of events that they had mainly were their fundraisers. So the museum, and we still do them today. The museum has two major fundraisers. In the spring we have Cajun Fest, and in the fall we have Oktoberfest. And that was really about it. When I came in, I made sure that I wanted to do more community events, our community programs where the community can come in for free, not having to pay. So we do have a lot of events where we ask for a small fee, but I try to do more events where those that maybe cannot afford the fee can still come in and enjoy the museum.
And what event would you say, really made you say like, wow, people like this. We should do these more often.
When you get feedback. When they say, "Oh, thank you so much for doing this event. We had a great time. We loved it. We're so glad that you're doing this." It's that's how you can tell that something's working, is when you get the feedback from the community, from those people who actually go to those events and they like that kind of event. They like learning or seeing what we're doing. So it's really the feedback from the people that let us know that, what we're doing is working.
And would you say these events are usually attended by, Del Rioans?
Yes, yeah, the majority of our events are the locals who are coming.
And would you say you always see the same people coming back?
Sometimes, yeah, it's nice to see the same people coming back, but it's also nice to see new faces. So it's exciting to see both the faces that you've seen before because you're doing something right because they're coming back. And then to see the new faces, it's also good to see that because that's someone maybe that we reached out who has not been to the museum yet and will return at a different event also.
So is there anything about the museum that you would like to share? Anything you haven't asked?
Not just that, we are a 501c3 nonprofit. We depend on our business sponsors and we depend on the community to keep us running. And that's also one of the reasons why we do our free event, is because the community really does support the museum, and we also want to give back. So as a way of saying thank you, we do those free events. And I mean, whenever we ask for donations, we have a little donation jar. People are always putting money in there. Now with like electronic funds and Cash App, people are using that too. And you'll be surprised, even during a free event, people will give a small donation as a thank you for doing that. So that's one of the reasons why we do it. Thank you to them, because they really do support us.
And kind of going back to the flood, as time goes on, would you say that the impact of the flood is being forgotten by the newer generations?
By the newer generation, yes, by the younger kids. If they didn't, anyone who was born maybe after 1998, really don't know anything about it unless they learn about it either in school or here at the museum. The people who experienced it, my generation, we still remember it. There's people who, when it rains, when there's a heavy rain, we kind of get kind of nervous. We don't want that to happen again. So it's still on the minds of people.
And again, for like younger generations, how would you explain the impact that the flood had on the city?
So we just show them, like I said, we have a from Anheuser-Busch, they were canning water instead of beer. So we actually have one of those cans. We have a beer bottle that's filled with water instead of beer. So we show them, look, we couldn't drink water from the sink how you do now. We had to go get gallons of water, and they had to bring water to us. We just try to show them. We have a video that's on loop of all the devastation, so they get to see the houses that were destroyed. They get to see the helicopters that were coming in to lift cars out of the creek. So that's one way that we try to share and keep that history alive with the younger generation now.
And you mentioned there's an exhibit at the museum about the event. Have you gotten like comments from, people attending the museum about it? Like, wow, I never knew about this.
So when we first opened it up, we had a lot of people come in because they wanted to see what we had. They were very surprised with the pictures that we had and everything, and they really liked it. And it was a good, a memorial to the people who passed away. There'll be people who come in who didn't even know that the flood was here. The younger generation, they see it and they're like, wow, we heard about the flood, but we didn't really know it was that bad. We've heard some stories from family members, but looking at the pictures and seeing the devastation is kind of adds on to maybe the story that was told to by their family.
And lastly, is there anything else that you want to add?
No, I think we really went through everything. The museum is here for we are here for our community. We try to preserve our history here in Del Rio and showcase it. We preserve it for our youth to learn from. The flood was an event that affected a lot of people here in Del Rio, and like I said, they still, every time there's a heavy rain, like, oh my, there's a flood again, like 98, people bring it up again because it's still on their minds. But besides that, I think kind of went through everything, so it was real good.
Well, Michael, thank you so much for talking with me. I learned so much.
Oh, of course. I thank you for inviting me and to be interviewed. I'm glad to help out.